Cookin' and Shuckin', an oyster roast and par 3 golf tournament, Thursday, September 11th at Threes Greenville. Feast on fresh oysters, cheeseburgers, and ice-cold drinks, then tee it up under the lights with friends in our par 3 golf tournament. Tickets and sponsorships are limited and going fast. Oyster Roast starts at 5:30, Shotgun start at 7. Visit GreenvilleClemsonClub.com to register today. Great golf, great food, great cause, supporting Clemson University and our community.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Get your questions in daily on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line at 654-ROAR. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
The bee rescued, bring me back to life.
Hour number three out of bounds. William Quaggenbush and Ben Milstead with you. Mike Vaughn spinning the hits back in the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. Before we get back to the phones, let me tell you about our friends at PhD Weight Loss. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team are awesome. In fact, I was in Dabo's press conference. I got a phone call. They're just checking in. I got the voicemail after I got done. And they're just seeing if I need anything. And the reality is, this time of year, I need a lot. But the good news is I have the tools. I have the tools available to me thanks to PhD. It's instilled in my brain now for life. And that's the beautiful thing about their process is it's not medications that you can come off of and put the weight back on. It's not pills or shots that you're constantly dependent on. It is real, sustainable, natural remedies to the weight loss crisis that we face as a nation. And it's individual. These are very particular, very specific very real and personal struggles that people have, either we have or people close to us. I love hearing the updates from people who are on the PhD program that have really changed their lives. Here's the deal. If you're on Ozempic or you're on some of these other drugs, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team can help you. There's no question about it. If you're trying to start your weight loss journey, they can help you as well. For more, you can call 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
We don't normally let people double dip on the show, but I cut Cree off by accident earlier. So, Cree, what are your thoughts on the LSU football game?
Yeah, I think the thing that stung the worst about it is that they talked down to us the whole month previous, then wore the 1-0 shirts in our stadium and flat out beat us. And it also just really hurt, I wouldn't say our culture, but our standards of trying to develop guys from high school and then just taking transfer portal guys. I think that was really a slap in the face to me that just made me just, like, last after that fourth down, I just turned the TV off. I was so aggravated with it. And then plus we had all the recruits there on top of it. I think that's what made it sting the most.
You know, I think it's a good point, Cree. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for getting back in, too. You know, on the portal thing, I heard Mickey talk about this morning. I think he made a good point. You don't have to say that Clemson lost because they didn't take enough portal guys, but you can also acknowledge that LSU won because they did.
LSU was much better on defense, and there was, what, 7 portal guys over there?
Yes.
You know, and it's hard to evaluate a team when they bring in 7 portal guys. I mean, there's a lot there that you don't know.
Well, and we knew, like, Mansoor Delane from Virginia Tech.
Virginia
we
Tech
knew that
guy
was a good player.
Very, yeah, underutilized at Tech.
The other thing I have an issue, though, with that framing, they were better in the portal. The best player on the field when Clemson had the ball was Harold Perkins. And if there's one broad criticism I have of Garrett Riley, it's that I don't think they exposed and picked on Harold Perkins enough.
At the same time, I thought LSU finally figured out how to use him.
They did. And I thought the play call for Blake Baker was really good. I thought they schemed up really well. I did think they confused Clemson a little bit. I thought sometimes guys are running wide open, which we're going to talk about in a minute. It could be a feature. It could be a bug. The other point that Cree made, and then we're gonna let you hear from Brian Kelly because he had an interesting comeback to Dabo Swinney just a little bit ago. Somebody sent me on Twitter. Ben, the TCU North Carolina game last night. One of the things that was just – it just got insufferable. Like 40 minutes into that hour-long pregame show, I was like, have they even said one thing about TCU? Like TCU is favored in this game. And no one has even said who is their coach, who is their quarterback, who are their players. It was all Bill Belichick. And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm TCU, I'm like blaring this pregame show in the locker room. I'm blaring it because no one is saying, you're favored in the game. You have expectations to win your league. No one is saying a word about you. And Sonny Dykes, in the postgame on the field, the first thing he said was, we felt disrespected. I think there, as fans, that is like one of the most gratifying things, is when your coach, players, whatever, say they disrespected us and we did something about it. That's when you know that you have a pretty good group that is willing and able to sort of go and fight your battles for you. This team disrespected your logo. They disrespected your facility. They talked about how you were the fake Death Valley all summer long. They wore 1-0 shirts to warm up. All these levels of disrespect to varying degrees, and the players and the coaches and the fans, they all felt it. And they come in, they wear the shirts, and they win the game. It does heighten it. If you win that game, it's euphoric because you defended a lot of that. When you lose the game, it is, I think it is more deflating that there were points in time where they did poke you and they did prod you and they did provoke you. And they did disrespect you, and you could not back it up. TCU beat the daylights out of North Carolina, and so they could stand up in a press conference and say, don't disrespect us anymore. This is what happens when you disrespect us, and teams will think twice. And to Cree's point, I think that's deflating if you're a Clemson fan. And you were sort of expecting that the level, like, at some point you're like, okay, they have really poked the bear. They've gone a little too far. They have really poked the bear on this one, and there's no way they're getting away with this. There's no way they're getting away with this. And then you score 10 points, and you can't score inside the 25 in the last minute of the game. Maybe I'm making too much of this. I do think that is the fan reaction. I think all of that is a part of the fan reaction of this. And the reaction to maybe Clemson slipping off its perch a little bit. Mike, get ready with that Brian Kelly clip. So part of Dabo's press conference part of Dabo's press conference today, he sort of spent talking about, we talked about getting the final exam, the start of the season, and they made a 65 and we made a 58, but now we have the questions on the test. Brian Kelly was asked about this in his press conference today, and I have so many thoughts about why Dabo would say that and what Brian Kelly said. This is fascinating to me. Roll that clip, Mike.
We dominated him in the second half. He's either a really good grader giving himself a 58, or he's a really hard grader on us, or he didn't see the second half, which that might be the case. He might not have wanted to see the second half. This is all like, you know, past. We dominate.
Okay, so that's it. So we dominate him in the second half. Now, first of all, you can pick and choose your stats to say that. I think LSU was clearly better in the second half. It was 14-0 on the scoreboard. They actually, from a yardage standpoint, the margin was better in the first half. They just turned the ball over twice. You could argue they dominated the run of play for the whole game. If you're going to use that as your standard, you can argue they dominated the run of play the whole game. Here's where the difference is. And I was talking to somebody about this today. Ben, I don't know if you've thought about this at all, but I kept thinking about how many guys are just running open for Clemson on LSU's defense. And there's only two things that could possibly be happening there. One is that LSU has a million busts. And they're coming after Cade, but they're just busting on the back end, and Clemson has guys open, and they are just saying that they're just lucky. They're lucky that Cade didn't hit them. That's Dabo's perspective, that LSU busted all over the place, and Cade didn't hit him. Cade just couldn't find him. And if he finds all these guys that LSU busted and these plays were bad, then we win a game. That's what Dabo's basically said. He basically talked about that for probably half his press conference today. There's a second option. And this is actually a more frustrating option from Clemson's standpoint. But actually, if you're LSU, you might be grading on a bit of a curve in this way. Because what if Blake Baker decided we're going to allow guys to run wide open? And we're going to turn guys loose because we don't think we'd rather heat up Cade than not, and we don't think he's going to find them. Like, what if Brian Kelly watches the film and guys are running wide open, but it's a guy that they knew were going to run wide open? Because you're blitzing six and there's five guys in coverage and you don't think Cade's going to see that guy.
Well, when you bring an extra man, though, don't you know that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I think Dabo is counting.
And you're going to stay with that until Clemson can expose you. And Clemson never exposed them in that way.
So I think Dabo is counting that as like LSU busted. I'm wondering if LSU was doing that sort of kind of on purpose because they didn't think that Cade would make the reads. None of those are particularly good, but that's how you could, you know, that's how you could get different grades on the defensive side.
Position group wise, Quark, all of these wide receivers that you apparently have on the roster that can all be starters, you completed passes to three wide receivers. And I know Antonio Williams was injured. I don't know how much, if any, you missed him, honestly. You know, it's hard to know what he would have done. Meanwhile, tight end kind of felt like that was going to be a position that you had to sort of feel your way through and find a guy. You completed passes to three wide receivers. You also completed passes to three tight ends. And I thought they all Patrick Sapp, Josh Sapp, rather. Be awesome if Patrick Sapp came back and
played. That'd be great.
Josh Sapp, Olsen, Pat Henry, and Bettencourt. And I thought they all three looked good. Here is my hot take right now on that, though. Last year you had Brenningstuhl, and there was definitely chemistry between Cade Klubnik and the tight end position. I think you have got to find that with one guy right now. I think Cade Klubnik needs that. He proved that to you last year. Even when he had a third-string tight end in the game, he found him anyway because that is what he is comfortable doing. And who I don't really care who it is. My hunch is that you probably try to fast-track Bettencourt a little bit here and get him into the rotation. But to me, it is clear that your tight end is a piece that your quarterback has to have. And again, you completed passes to three wide receivers when that's been the focal point, and you also completed three to the developmental tight end room. You got to find that guy.
How about this one? Six targets of tight ends, five catches. That's 83%. That's really good, including a spectacular catch by Pat Henry, a non-automatic catch when Bettencourt is covered and then trucks the guy.
Bettencourt looked very good after, yards after catch.
Yes.
I mean, he looked very good. And like you say, Pat Henry's catch, that might have been the catch of the game for Clemson.
That was like Renfro in the Syracuse game, the little helicopter deal.
I mean, who would have thought your best catch would have come by him and perhaps your best defender was Ronan Hanifin?
Yes.
I mean, what the heck?
I mean, defensively, you tell me that
– I don't know if I like that or not.
I know. You tell me Clemson's two best defenders are like Hanifin is defiling Green or whatever. I'm saying you got the wrong game. 12 catches on 26 targets for the three receivers. 26 targets, only 12 catches. That is not good. Whoever's faulted it, yeah, that is just not good enough.
LSU played good coverage at times, but there were some drops. There were some difficult catches that should have been caught.
Agreed.
And I do think, like, Wesco, the one that came over his shoulders, what it's bad. I was like, hey, Cam Cannarella would have caught that. You know, kind of the basket catch.
It would have. We've seen it so many times.
I'm not as worried about those things because I think that does get cleaned up.
I would agree with that. Let's go to HC in Seneca, who's up with us next. What's up, HC?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for getting in.
Yeah, appreciate you taking the call. I mean, obviously, Saturday was really disappointing. Clemson and all the Clemson fans and everything. One thing I will say about it, I feel like Dabo just got completely outcoached, and that's really, really surprising for me because we're not used to seeing that. But, I mean, for Brian Kelly to go on record and say that they dominated Clemson at any point in the game is wild because neither one of these teams – looked like world beaters in this game. I wouldn't say that either one of these teams dominated in any form of the game. It was really sloppy. I didn't expect Clemson to play the way that they did.
Right.
But I also didn't expect them to come out and be the best version of this team that we're going to see this year. So, you know, it sucks to lose, but 4 or 5 years ago, I would have been a lot more upset because that pretty much would have kicked us out of the playoff, but everything is still ahead of us. So, I mean, like I said, it sucks. You wanted to win the game, of course, but, you know, you got to just turn the page and keep your eye on the prize. But I got one question, and I'll take it off the air. I was just curious why we are not seeing more of Jeremiah Alexander. I was kind of surprised that he wasn't out there more. I mean, Wade played good, don't get me wrong, but I don't understand how we bring in a transfer, a guy who was a five-star, and we don't really play him at all. And I'll take that one off the air. Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much. You know, Dabo talked about that today. He said Cove McCloud's ahead, and McCloud's been in the system multiple years. And, you know, no disrespect to him, but Jeremiah Alexander wasn't playing a lot at Alabama for a reason. So that's a guy that's got to earn. It's not like he's playing 1,000 snaps at Alabama, can't see the field here. What Dabo said today is Kobe McCloud has earned it, and probably he said surprised Boulware and Allen with the way that he was playing linebacker in camp because he's been hurt.
And as we said earlier, out of all the position groups, I felt pretty good about the linebacking group.
I thought he played great.
That was one of the few groups that I did feel good about. And you know, I may be wrong about this. I kind of think of Alexander as more of the run stopper kind of guy. You were stopping and not as much of a coverage guy. You needed the coverage guys on the field.
That's right. Yeah, they definitely were small. Like that tiger position, they definitely got small. All right, when we come back, Josh Watson, Joel Davis going to join us, talk a few minutes about Paul Journey. Stay with us. Hour 3 continues after this.
Got a crowd to feed? Big game watch party? Office lunch, Mellow Mushroom Clemson caters any event, big or small. From stone-baked pizzas to wings, salads, hoagies, and more. With gluten-free and vegan options, we have everyone covered. Call ahead or order online. Delivery available at mellowmushroom.com or swing by 1007 Tiger Boulevard and let us bring the flavor. Mellow Mushroom Clemson. Pizza, beer, and vibes that make every event unforgettable. Mellow Mushroom Clemson.
Chickasaw Point in Westminster, South Carolina, with exceptional golf in a beautiful setting, along with the casual Overlook restaurant offering quality dining available for weddings and meetings. On Facebook or at chickasawpointgolf.com.
Replacing your HVAC system might be easier than you think. With financing through Synchrony, you can pre-qualify without impacting your credit score and enjoy low monthly payments on a new Armstrong air system. Call Blue Ridge Heating and Air today for your free estimate from Pete, our field supervisor. He'll even bring you a bottle of Furnace Fuel Hot Sauce and help you secure tax credits before they expire December 31st. Call now, ask for Pete, and upgrade your comfort the smart way. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
Warm weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard as you're preparing meals for your family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're on your way to the beach or the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter for you. The Ingles floor department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. So take it from me, you'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
At Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney, we carry Western and workwear, as well as boots for men, women, and children. We also carry clothes for tactical, fire retardant, nurses, hunting, shooting, and fishing gear and supplies. Looking for firearms or ammo, we have a large selection to choose from. Make Cherokee Outfitters your go-to store for everything outdoors. Visit us today at 370 Pechoid Road, exit 90 on I-85.
Have you ever wondered if you need an estate plan? David Green hears that question daily, and the answer is always yes. Let David and his team guide you through the process of creating a personalized estate plan to protect your legacy for your family. Today is the day to make that happen. Don't wait another day. Call David Green at 271-7940, that's 271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal to start securing your legacy today.
All over Greenville, people are asking, what's a Vermeer? Well, Vermeer is one of Greenville's newest corporate citizens. The company builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing underground utility construction. Vermeer machines are leading the way in soft dig trenchless innovation, enabling the exposure of underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods. Get the scoop at vermeer.com/dig.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at blochaven.com.
Life doesn't wait, and neither should you. Aleve can help you deal with pain less throughout your day. Whether it's a long day on your feet, a demanding workout, or everyday aches and pains, you need relief that can keep up when pain persists. Aleve is here for you with longer-lasting body pain relief compared to leading OTC-branded pain relievers. With just one pill, Aleve lasts up to 12 hours. Don't let those aches hold you back from doing what's important to you. Use as directed.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HD TV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
See, this is Mike Vaughn's wheelhouse because we're talking Paul Journey, so any way you want it. A little Journey. Ben Milstead approves, Mike. Hour three continues here on the program. We have two very special guests with us on Pod Journey Week. It is the Director of Life Skills and Civic Engagement, Joel Davis, and Josh Watson, the Director of Career and Professional Development. Did I get those right?
You did. Great job. We're off to a great start.
That's what I'm talking about. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Blessed.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
You know, I always like talking about this because, you know, people are mad about losses. You know, after wins, people are like, great, let's talk Paul Journey. Let's talk about how great these guys' lives are. And now they're, like, ready to, like, light the building on fire. But it is a great perspective because the program's changing lives. We heard from Colin Griffin today. We heard from Ryan Linthicum today about how it changed their lives. Just real quick, Joel, I want to start with you. How does Paul Journey change lives? How do you change lives in what you do every day?
Absolutely. I really think it's just about empowerment, right? We can't really do anything for the guys. Well, actually, we could. We could do a lot for them. There are a lot of people who are willing to do a lot for football players. But ultimately, when we create opportunities for them to do for themselves, for them to step out of their comfort zones, for them to try out new things, go to new places, be around new people, you know, they, in those moments, are applying everything that we're teaching them, everything that football's teaching them, everything that college is teaching them. And so what's beautiful about it is we can have an initiative in January talking about communication, but then nothing can better show you the power of communication than when we go to Italy, and English isn't the first language of everyone. And now it's like, how do you communicate? How do you show a person that you care about them and that you've considered them when you don't even speak the same language as them? So it's all about the opportunities that we provide for them to step into their leadership, for them to step into their service.
God, I'm listening to Jeff Davis talk right now. Tell your dad.
That's a compliment.
It's a beautiful thing. I was getting wrapped up. I was like, Rev Jewel's over there getting us going. That's great.
Love it.
Josh, same question to you. How, in your role every day, how are you able to mold these young people and change their life?
That's such a good question. Two words come to mind, hope and permission. Hope is, like I said, I played football here from 2010 to 2014, and I remember that feeling of getting done playing football, and everybody says, it's the worst breakup you've ever been through. I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to the league. Like, I don't care what you guys are saying. But having that hopeless feeling after you get done, like, well, what do I do next? My identity is wrapped up all in the football. And what Paul Journey does is gives our guys hope, you know, through the curriculum that we put them through 4 years that they're here or 3 years that they're here. They're confident in their abilities outside of the game. They're confident in the way that they speak. They're confident in the things that they've learned, the tools, the connections they've made. So it gives them hope. Like, okay, if this football thing doesn't work out, you know, I have a whole Rolodex of people I can connect with. I have skills that I can lean on, and I'm going to be okay, right? And permission to explore themselves outside of being a football player well before it's time for them to transition from playing football. So we're always putting them in different environments, different situations, traveling to different places where they can see themselves like, wow, you know, I never explored this part of me. I never knew that I was talented at this. People only told me I was talented at football. And so that's kind of what Paul Journey provides is you know, those experiences for you to be able to kind of explore yourself and who you are outside of the game of football.
Well, what's interesting is, I like to ask, especially like the Paul Journey ambassadors, did you come in wanting to dive in with both feet? And a lot of times they'll say sort of or no. It's something that, like, it's almost like something that during the recruiting process, you and maybe your parents like appreciate is here, but you're going, I don't know. Rarely do you have the case of somebody that was like, I came for Paul Journey. I show up the first day with a notepad. I'm ready to go. So walk me through, like, what was your relationship with Paul Journey as it developed when you were in school in the early 2010s?
That's interesting. I always tell people I had the beta program of Paul Journey, right?
Yeah.
My Paul Journey was Jeff Davis in the corner office, and we went to him for everything, and still kind of do, right? Spiritual needs, agent needs, career needs. He was running a whole department by himself. I can't believe it with all the things that we do now that he was a one-man show before. And then to see it develop into a whole curriculum now that Jewel was on board, and she comes with that teacher background and actually has a curriculum that builds on itself. The year one guy might not be getting the same as year two, and the year four guy certainly not getting the same as year one because they're developing through it. I mean, just seeing that and seeing our guys actually grow, that's been the coolest part for me heading into year two, is actually seeing the growth of our guys from last year and then watching them grow, and it's almost like, boom, in like a month, they're like almost a completely different person. You're like, wow, like the curriculum actually works. The blueprint actually works. And so that's the coolest part. For me, and kind of seeing their development and their growth as they come into Paul Journey, and then me being able to actually see it and be a part of it and witness it.
Jewel, tell me about the curriculum, because I know you do have a teacher background, and so I appreciate that you're putting that to good use here. But walk me through, like, what does this look like as a football player goes through their time here?
Right. Shout out to all the educators out there. We appreciate y'all.
Doing great, underpaid,
doing a thankless
overtaxed
job, but I thank you.
That's right. There we go. Thankless asterisk. We're doing it right now.
Yeah, so that progressive piece that Josh was speaking about is really important. So we're trying to ensure. So obviously, we've had some landscape changes, all of the things. So we're now kind of looking at it from a backwards perspective. If a scholar athlete is here for 3 years, because you can go in the transfer portal, you can graduate, you can go to the NFL. We have guys doing that now in 3 years. So we're almost looking at it from a three-year lens. In 3 years, what are those kind of anchor foundational skills for life that we know if you only had those when you leave, you could at least transition. You could at least get yourself to that next stage. You could have that hope. You could have that confidence that, you know, it's not an I don't know. It's a matter of which way do I want to go? And so we kind of have that perspective. We work our way back. So in year one, you know, where are they? Because maturation-wise, you're entering college. We try to meet them where they are in each stage of life. And so a year one guy, as soon as they get here, they're going to do a time management initiative, because that's you probably their number one need. You're not managing time like the average college student is. You're having to manage time on a whole nother level with football involved. And a lot of our guys are not just involved in football. Because of Paul Journey, because of Coach Sweeney's vision of everyone having a college experience that they enjoy, they're encouraged to do things outside of football to really enjoy their experience and be whole people. So we're trying to meet their needs, meet them where they are maturation-wise, and then progress and build on that. And so, you know, if we do like a personal growth initiative, we might start with them learning about your personality type, learning about your communication style. But then by year three or four, we're asking you put a plan together for how you're going to transition. Now that you know your communication style, now that you know your strengths, now that you know where your leadership is, you've been on a micro internship to Adobe or Google, you've done these things, let's now put a plan together to transition. If football ended today, what would you do? Who would you call? Where would you live? And so we're not going to ask a year one guy to think about that. We need to develop some of those skills and just that mindset and that psyche first.
So I want to go back to you, and then I got questions about micro internships, and we're going to talk a little NASCAR too, Josh. I'm not going to leave without doing that. But the civic part, I'm always yes. fascinated by the way the coaches here talk about giving back and really in this community.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, this program is – You're still taking. You know, it's a different kind of taking, but you're mm-hmm. still taking. Like, these, mm-hmm. there's resources there and you're taking. But the giving aspect, where you're turning that around and sort of paying it forward mm-hmm. To people who can then sort of be equipped and empowered to give back to you, it's starting that circle in the community. What is it like on the civic engagement side of that?
The civic engagement side is pretty wild. There are constantly just organizations and different groups who want to work with our scholar athletes. But then also our scholar athletes are normalizing it for themselves. So they're starting to build their own relationships. They're setting things up on their own. And so it's really neat to kind of see it just evolve on its own over the years. You know, we have the kind of mandatory stuff that we do or the voluntary stuff. They're going to do a fall team service event with us during their bye week. And then we always do a service abroad trip. We just went to Italy, went to Sorrento, Italy. And we service just a lot of different organizations there each day. And so, you know, we kind of have those things that are offered from a team perspective or a larger group perspective. But honestly, you know, I can go down the line and just list groups that our guys are working with regularly, whether it's Clemson Downs or the Everland Senior Citizen Community, whether it's, you know, Helping Hands, where they're working with young men who are transient. And they're just spending time with them each day, mentoring them. They're going to Ravenel Elementary, and they have a little buddy that they eat lunch with, and those sorts of things. So it's the diversity. It's the variety. I've got one young man, Quentin Kastner, loves animals. He goes to the Oconee Humane Society, and he walks dogs. He helps them keep the facility clean, those sorts of things. So the civic aspect, I just love the diversity of it. It's another chance for them to explore who they are outside of a football player. And so we had an election year last year. We registered over 30 guys to vote. And, you know, we started having those conversations. Like, who are you? Who you are as a scholar athlete goes beyond the field. Your influence is huge. At minimum, you're influencing every single person in South Carolina. Like, at minimum. Mm. There are a lot of people in South Carolina. And so there's a responsibility in that. There should be an intentionality in that. And so the civic part, it's really about being a citizen overall. It's not even just about, you know, doing this service one time or temporarily, but what does it mean to actually engage with my society as my society engages with me on the football field? So,
very cool. Josh, sometimes it means going to the Humane Society. Sometimes it means that you just have a NASCAR crew come in on the random day of the week. I mean, what? Tell me, how does that happen? How does that come together?
That's such a great question. It was one of the coolest moments that I've ever been a part of, for one. But it was Paul Journey's was stamped all over it, right? And so we initially made the connection with Team Penske. I got connected with them. Through previous years, they had the guy Greg Kazaya, who's an assistant pit crew coach, was working for another NASCAR team. But he frequently comes to our pro days. So there's some crossover there between pit crews in NASCAR and football players. There's a lot of former football players. As a matter of fact, most of the guys in pit crews are former football players. So we ended up, it was crazy, we ended up going to Las Vegas for our business week. And one of our experiences that we set up for our guys was to visit a NASCAR race that was going on in Las Vegas. And we got to see NASCAR from behind the scenes, got to watch the race from pit road, and it was the most incredible experience. It was so eye-opening to our guys. Because, you know, when you watch NASCAR, you're thinking, well, these cars are just driving around the track. You're not really understanding the intricacies until you actually get to the track and you see. And then you see all the former football players. So you can see our guys kind of lighten up like, whoa, like, I didn't know, like, there was former guys that actually do this. And they make a great living. And they only work 4 days a week. And they watch film. And they lift weights. And so when I was talking to Team Penske there, which they were gracious enough to give us that experience, they were like, you know, it would be cool if we came and talked to the team one time. And so this was back in March. And so this opportunity in fall camp was 6 months in the making. And so, you know, and they also, you know, provided an opportunity for Sheridan Jones, who used to play here. So he's on their pit crew. And so it was a really cool event because Sheridan Jones came back. And he's demonstrating, you know, his new passion and his new career path and skills in changing the tires, right, for Team Penske. And then actually being able to coach our guys when we did a little competition at the end for our guys to change the tires. He's coaching our guys. So it was like a really cool experience. He spoke to the team. And then obviously having Joey Logano do a burnout to finish the presentation was, I mean, our guys were just so hype and you know, emotional, and we're so grateful for that experience. But it also was an eye-opening experience for the rest of the team that didn't go to the business week trip, right? They got a chance to be exposed to a different industry, the NASCAR industry, and then I'm getting text messages from the guys afterwards like, I want to do a micro-internship with Team Penske. I would love to work for NASCAR now. And so there were so many different elements of Paul Journey that was, you know, involved in that Team Penske visit, that Team Penske demonstration, and they've been an incredible partner. You know, they've committed to doing our career hiring fair in the spring. They're going to continue to do micro internships. So they're one of a great example of what a partner can be for Paul Journey.
Great stuff, man. I know y'all are excited. This is Paul Journey week. A lot of good stuff going on with Paul Journey. Appreciate the chance to visit with you. Josh Watson, Joel Davis, thanks very much. Appreciate the time, and enjoy this week, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate
it's our pleasure. Final segment. We'll wrap up the show with some odds and ends next.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
This Saturday, the Clemson Tigers take on the Troy Trojans in Death Valley, and the best coverage anywhere is right here on The Roar. It starts 6 hours before kickoff at 9:30 with the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Join Grace and Ashby and me for that. Then transition to 12:30 Tiger Tailgate Show. Faxon Childers and his crew will take you up to kickoff with Don Munson, Tim Beret, and Reggie Merriweather. And then Donald Clark and I will have all the analysis you need on the fifth quarter show. It's your home for wall-to-wall Clemson football game day coverage, a flagship station for Clemson athletics. We are The Roar.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments including pills, chews, and more. 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Discover Reed's Jewelers, America's largest family-owned jeweler, and their state-of-the-art expanded store in Haywood Mall. The same location with nearly twice the showroom space as before. Dedicated to bringing you amazing savings on diamonds, watches, and more. All with the same superior customer service they've always provided.
you'll be amazed at the 21st century appeal of the new Reed's Jewelers expanded store. Reed's Jewelers, next to Belk on the top floor in Haywood Mall. Online at reeds.com.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England, Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfilet.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
While we know that plastic vapor seals and dehumidification machines can do a tremendous job protecting the wood in your home, they are not designed to stop enormous amounts of rainwater from penetrating through unsealed foundations. You have to stop or divert the rainwater at its source. With the storm season now upon us, homeowners should be mindful about the many options available for removing rainwater, moisture, and humidity from under their home. Protect your largest investment, your home. Call the professionals at Davis Services today and feel the Davis difference.
Your food is best when you know where it comes from. AMPM Farms offers beef raised here in the upstate, along with 70 vendors featuring raw milk, farm and dairy products, and more. Weekly wild game and burger flights, AMPM Farms is providing your family the very best. Plan your next meal, cookout, or tailgate with AMPM Farms. 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville and Travelers Rest, 164 South Main in Fountain Inn, 3085 Allen Bridge Road. Online, AMPM Farms, Butchery and Market.com.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Sing my share of broken halos. Golden wings.
So we go from Paul Journey to Arthrex. Why is that a good transition? Because careers.arthrex.com. You can change the trajectory of your life with Arthrex. You can change your employment future. You can change your just the environment that you're working in. You can change your, you know, benefits packages. You can make a career change or an employer change, whatever. Bottom line, Arthrex, they're doing good work. They're creating the surgical tools and technologies to help everybody from professional athletes to weekend warriors get back in the game. That's what Arthrex is doing in Sandy Springs over there in Anderson. For more, go to careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com. Ben, AP Top 25 poll is out now. We have a new one. And, you know, let me ask you this, because I'm not surprised at where Clemson is. Are you surprised at where Clemson is in the new AP Top 25?
A little. Well, I don't know. Clemson comes in at number 8, down 4 spots. That's, I mean, if they would have been lower, I don't know. I don't know. Sure. Sounds good.
I mean, I expected this, and this is why. Okay, and I'm not saying they're wrong or anybody's wrong or right. I'm not saying any of that. But, Ben, I have listened to national commentary on this, and this is what I've heard from national people. LSU looked very good, period. There has been very little – the little bit of criticism – like, think about this. The audience broadly here has a million criticisms of Clemson, and I'm not saying any of those are wrong. I'm not saying anything that we've said is critical today or that people have pointed out. I'm not saying any of that is wrong. I'm saying the national narrative about what happened Saturday is LSU good. Mm-hmm. It is not Clemson bad, Clemson weak, Clemson this, Clemson that. If anything, it is Cade Klubnik's not a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback. That's kind of been the one takeaway. But, like, I've not heard criticism of Garrett Riley. I've not heard criticism of Clemson's run game broadly. I've heard criticism of why didn't they run it more. Those are just things that have not come up. So, because of that, again, not saying they're right or wrong, but because that exists, I'm not surprised that Clemson's still in the top 10 and decidedly in the top 10 right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care where they come in. It is interesting to me that, I mean, and this is nitpicking, they're a spot ahead of Notre Dame. Notre Dame, to me, looked better than Clemson did. They played, and they were the road team that lost. Clemson was the home team that lost. South Carolina comes in at number 10. First time since 2013 that Clemson and South Carolina both in the top 10 in the AP poll. How about that?
I believe that. I'm 100% on board with that.
Florida State jumps up to 14. And
that's a little high, don't you think? From unranked to 14?
This may be the biggest surprise I have ever seen. Alabama dropped 13 spots. Not surprised, not saying they shouldn't have, surprised that AP voters dropped Alabama all the way down to number 21.
All right, can I just say this real quick, okay? We were talking about, one of the themes of the show is, like, we're tired of seeing the same stuff, okay? Like, Clemson fans are tired of seeing the same. We want to see, like, a return to glory or whatever. How many times are we going to give Ole Miss credit for running the score up late against bad teams?
Every time.
I watched Alabama go. We talked about that was going to be a tough environment. It was going to be a tough study. I'm not giving excuses for why Alabama lost the game, but, I mean, Alabama was objectively not very good on Saturday. I don't think they are worse than Ole Miss, who had a nice cushy environment and ran the score. Remember last year they ran the score up against everybody and then they looked like a dodo bird against Kentucky the first time they played anybody with a pulse? Mm-hmm. They're beating everyone by 60. We're fooled again by Ole Miss. Stop putting Ole Miss ahead of teams that got challenged, because Ole Miss is going – the FPI moved Ole Miss from 10 to 4. You know why? Because Ole Miss has broken all the systems. They were like number 2 in the country at the end of last year because they beat everybody by 9 touchdowns. That most everybody's calling off the dogs. We got to stop doing this with Ole Miss. I'm not mad at Alabama being 21. I'm mad at Ole Miss being above Alabama. In no way should you put Ole Miss ahead of anybody that challenged themselves last week. That is my general principle. Why would you have Ole Miss ahead of Tennessee? Tennessee played a real team in a neutral venue. They won by 19. Like, I didn't think Tennessee was great. Somebody asked about it. I didn't think they were great, but I think Syracuse is going to score on people.
Top 10, Ohio State, Penn State, LSU moves to 3, Georgia, Miami to 5, Oregon, Texas drops to 7, then Clemson at 8, Notre Dame at 9, and South Carolina at 10. Illinois there at 11.
As I'm looking at the top 10, I think the only change I would make is I would flip Notre Dame and Clemson, based on what I saw last weekend. And you know what? Based some on what I think. Because we've only seen one game with remarkably disparate levels of opposition.
I understand why Texas is at 7. I picked them in the contest and then proceeded to tell everybody they're crazy for picking Texas.
You did.
I did.
You managed to take all sides of that game in a remarkable way.
Yes. With that, I mean, that was an impossible situation. With that said, I feel like Texas drops that far because folks are just writing off Arch Manning based off of – and he wasn't great, but it was also an impossible situation for his first real start. So I personally think that's a mistake to write Texas off that far.
Yeah, I think this is – blaming Texas for things that were actually, I say broadly, our fault.
Yeah.
With the level of expectation for our
team. And they were probably going to happen regardless. Still, I mean, everybody ahead of them won their game, so I understand that.
I might have Texas stay ahead of Oregon. I might. But I don't have any qualms with the top five based on what was in front of them. I could make an argument for LSU at two. Who's got the best win in the country this year? It's LSU, right? I mean, that's the best win.
Yeah, I mean, either – yes, because it was on the road.
It was on the road. And if you think Texas is 7 and Clemson's 8, they're basically together. Mm-hmm. One of those teams went on the road and beat that team. And it's LSU. I mean, I think we can overreact. I think it's okay to overreact to week one result as long as we're okay with overreacting again when – if they – like if Alabama plays better in the next couple games, if we go put them right back up there. I'm not saying we have to, but I'm saying to leave it open to that possibility. Lowest Alabama's been since 2008. Have not been outside the top 20 since 2008. Fun fact. How about Oklahoma at 18? Oklahoma and Michigan are – Michigan's higher ranked than Oklahoma. Ben, I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Well, we're going to find out this weekend.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out. That is ridiculous to me. We're going to have thoughts on some of the other games as well. There are a handful of really, really good ones this week coming up. Any final thoughts on Clemson we'll get to in the next couple minutes?
Here's one other nugget on the AP.
Go ahead.
First time since 2006, Florida State, Florida, and Miami all in the top 15. At the same time.
And you know what? They've earned it. I think all three of those – well, I still don't know about Florida State. I mean, if I thought they were unranked, I watched them in that game.
With Florida State, it wasn't that – we didn't know what they were.
We didn't know. I mean, that's true. We had no idea.
So I think you go conservative because there was just so many unknowns about them. If you look at what they did in a vacuum, I could see them being top 15.
I mean, I guess all the other teams below them either lost or they had sort of nonsense wins, mm-hmm. nonsense performances.
Now, we don't give the same kind of credit to a school like South Florida, though, who destroyed a top 25 team, and they're nowhere to be found.
By 27. I mean, beat the brakes off Boise State. I agree with that 100%. And, you know, while we're on that note, what about Utah being 25 after beating UCLA by 100,000 million points? Like, they went on the road to UCLA, and they treated UCLA like East Texas A&M. That was – not that they won the game. They should have won the game. They were, like, touchdown favorites. They won by, like, 45.
South Florida did receive 25 votes. I'm looking for USF.
They should have been in there. They should have been in there. All right, couple minutes left in
They're
the show.
They're at Florida this week.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, Scott was asking us about that. That's a solid game. I don't think they're beating Florida, but good opening remarks there from USF. Hey, go to Nick Lavery. In fact, go find him right there behind Mellow Mushroom. DUI, MIP, can be bad for young people, can be bad for parents. Nick is going to help you. Nick for sure is going to help you. In fact, go to the website to learn more. NickLaveryLaw.com. That's NickLaveryLaw.com. Nick, 25 years in the business, 25 years serving Clemson and the Upstate. Just wants to make sure that stress is off your plate. We love that about him. He is a great civic-minded person, too. Loves helping out with Tigers for Tatas, and he really does care about people in this community. Again, one more time, free consultation you can schedule. Give him a call. See more information, NickLaveryLaw.com.
One other quick question to you about Clemson. Is Clemson now a huddle offense? And was that Saturday night because of the way they're signaling it, calling in plays? Because I didn't see a whole lot of cards and signs. It was more, I'm going to tell you in your ear and you tell the rest of the team. Am I off base there?
Yeah, I mean, it could be that they huddle more because they thought LSU had their signs. It could be that. But it did seem like a lot of Garrett Riley with the play sheet over him saying the call and then Kate Klobnik saying the call. I think because of the helmet communication, I think everything is slower offensively.
It is for Clemson, but it was not like South Carolina. It was the opposite. I mean, South Carolina's offense moved quicker, I thought.
True.
So I don't know. It's just another thing that it feels like, at least for that game, they kind of went away from what their identity has been in the past.
And it does. We've said this many times before, but it does seem like Cade is better when he's just going.
Yeah.
When he's just going out there. So maybe, you know, maybe that's one of those things that gets better from week one to week two.
Not a big thing, but you know, a thing.
Could have been, especially if the defense is teeing off. Making the defense sort of have to hustle means you can't get those calls in as well. Fascinating. Fascinating to bring that up. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. More about the landscape of college football as well tomorrow. Thanks very much to everybody who stopped by, to Ryan Linthicum and Colin Griffin and Joel Davis and Josh Watson. Thanks to Ross Taylor and the folks at Clemson for having us today. A lot more Clemson LSU and a lot more college football talk tomorrow. God bless. We'll see you then for that. Walt is up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.